Well, praise God. Get your Bibles out this morning. Oh, we can do better than that, church. Come on, get your Bibles out this morning. And if you would, go to the Gospel of John, chapter 8. Yeah, if y'all will help get the word out about next Sunday, this is an evangelistic event to lead people to Jesus. There'll be the top, there'll be 10 selected, or actually they volunteered, but they had to select some because too many volunteered, to from the CBR, which is the level right underneath the PBR. You have to win in the CBR before you can go into the PBR to ride bulls on television and make all the big money. And so these guys are really hungry guys, and this is a CBR event that'll be taking place. And so 10 of those bull riders have volunteered, and the only thing they had to have for an entrance fee is they had to do a 5-minute testimony of what Jesus means to them. So the 10 bull riders are Christian bull riders. They're going to stand up. They're going to testify about what Jesus means to them in life and what he's done for them. And then they're going to ride their bull. And so I will have preached before that. These guys are going to testify, and at the end of the service, I'll give an altar call and invite anybody to come down to the arena and pray with them. And the cowboys will come out in the center, and it'll be a neat event. It'll be a good thing. So anyway, so bring somebody. Bring the person that never wants to go to church, doesn't want to have anything to do with church, doesn't whatever. I mean, because there's all kinds of things going to take place over here. It is absolutely as opposite from what we're doing right now as you can. Other than Jesus being there and me preaching. And I'll probably look the same. So, other than that. That's right. Church starts at 9:30. And they're going to have a breakfast that morning. And then, of course, Saturday, there's the whole event. Over the whole thing goes on Saturday. So Saturday night is a bull riding that starts then. And there's a supper then, right? Yeah. Right, putting it all together. Just come, enjoy it. Have some fellowship outside. Have a Sunday outside, and we'll bring somebody with you, and we're going to enjoy Jesus. Amen? I want to tell you something. It's really interesting because when you're around people, there's a lot of people out there that they're good people, and they inside of their hearts, they would consider themselves Christians, but they don't ever go to church. They don't ever really have anything about a relationship with Jesus. They just or in a stalemate in life, but those people will come with you and go to this cowboy church because they'll say, hey, this is a different kind of thing, you know. And so, anyway, a good opportunity to help and bless your neighbor. Amen? Did y'all find John chapter 8, verse 31? Did I tell you John chapter 8, verse 31? Okay. I want to pray this morning before we read this. Did I say John 8? I thought I heard somebody say, you said John, I thought you said 8, and I said, I did say 8, but anyway, I got to pray. Let's just pray right now. Father, I just thank you right now in Jesus' name. Lord, it has to be your words this morning. It can't be my words. Concise words, anointed words, words that will touch everybody's heart and hear that people will hear this morning, the word of God. Lord, I ask you to get me out of the way, my thoughts, my opinions out of the way, because it doesn't matter, Lord. It's got to be you. So Holy Spirit, I just come right now and I ask you to just open up our ears, open up our hearts. Anoint me, Lord God, to just be able to speak this word and to speak truth today that people will hear and it will set them free. And Lord, I give you praise for it and I give you thanks for it right now. In Jesus' name, amen. In John chapter 8, verse 31 is where we're going to go. Then Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, said, we are Abraham's descendants and we have never been in bondage to anyone. How can you say you will make us free? And Jesus said to him, most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in a house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen? It's the truth of God's word that makes a person free. Hear me now this morning. I'm going to say some things that are going to be kind of whatever, you know, kind of like up against a wall, like you can't do anything with it. You either got to take it or run south. And so don't run. Listen. this world that we live in right now, there are people out there that present themselves as good. There's people out there that are sitting in churches here this morning. There are people out in the world that have gone to, you know, I'm talking about the body of Christ, have gone to church on Sunday morning. But that doesn't mean just because it graces the doors of a church, it doesn't mean just because you try to be a good person that the person has truth. Hear me now. There's a difference between knowing what God's word says and that being a revelation to you. Then you have truth. Are y'all with me? So let's look at it this way. So let's say, for instance, that you say, well, look, man, I'm a good person and God loves everybody. God's a God of love and I'm a good person. I don't do anything wrong. I mean, I'm not perfect, but I don't do that much stuff wrong. And so, you know, God's a good God and he loves everybody. So, you know, I think I'm going to go to heaven. Well, that's a good logical thought. All right. But it doesn't line up with what the Word of God says. The Word of God says that you have to realize that each of us cannot stand within our own merits or our own abilities before the presence of a holy God. And that we have to have a sacrifice for us. We have to have somebody stand in for us because we can't. And that person is Jesus. And he is the perfect sacrifice. And he has made the way for us, right? Y'all with me in this? So the only way that we can stand before God is by the blood of Jesus, the forgiveness of Jesus. So we got to have Jesus. So the truth is, if you confess Jesus, Romans 10:9, with your mouth and believe in him in your heart and say, Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe that you died upon a cross for my sins. Then the Bible says, then the grace of God comes upon you. Your sins are removed. You're washed. And so you're standing before God, not on your merit. You're standing upon Jesus' merit. Are y'all with me? That's the truth. Logically over here, oh, this is a good person. Oh, God's a loving God. Oh, you know, nobody would just go to hell for that, this, that. You see, it's logic, but it's not truth. Are y'all with me? What's happening in the world today is everybody's wanting to take logic. They're trying to understand God based upon their head and their logic instead of knowing what the Word of God says, and they're trying to put that together and then say, well, this is the way it should be. And I'm telling you, you cannot do that. We as Christian people, we have a responsibility. I'm going to show you a little bit more of this. We have a responsibility to know what the Word of God says, and then we have to live and adhere to what the Word of God says. You don't have a choice. If Jesus said it and it's in the Bible, then you have to say, that's what Jesus said, and so that's the truth. You don't get to throw your opinion in. Well, if I was God, you know, I don't know, I think I might, you know, it seems like to me he'd do it differently. You don't get your opinion. You just get to know what the Word says. I've thought about all the titles in the world for this message this morning. I started out my first message, it's just titled Freedom. Then I thought about all kinds of other things after I get into this message, and so we're just going to throw it out there. And I said, I want to talk to you just about what freedom is. We think freedom in this world, we think freedom means the ability for you to choose whatever you want to do. Right? That's what that's just somebody said, what does freedom mean? I mean, I can do what I want to. But if I told you right here, this bottle wasn't water, it was muriatic acid. And I said, here, go ahead, you want to drink this bottle, muriatic acid. You'd say, I ain't going to drink that acid. Drink that acid, it'll kill me. Right? So what are you making your decision based upon? Truth. Right? You know, you've been around muriatic acid enough to know that it isn't going to kill you. But what if somebody was stupid enough to say, hey, I can do whatever I want to. I'm going to drink it. They drink it. Then they reap the consequences of it. Is that right? If you have truth and you go against that truth, you have to pay the consequences of it, right? You cannot be mad if a police officer stops you for speeding if you're speeding. You can't come. I've tried it. Said, well, the speed, why is that 55 here? It ought to be 70 here. I'm pretty far out. You can argue all you want to, but if that's where the sign is and that's what the law is, it ain't going to make no difference. You're going to get a ticket. Are y'all with me? Look at the person beside you and say, ain't it the truth? If you go against truth, hear me now. If you go against truth, you have to reap the consequences. Do y'all hear me? There's no way around it. If God said something that is truth and you go against it, what's going to happen? Oh, well, God's full of compassion and love and mercy, and he'll make everything work out. Really? Go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, verse 22. But now, having been set free from sin and having become slaves of God, you have your fruit to holiness and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now I stand here before you today. I'm 50 years old, and I cannot die. Oh, yeah, look at me like, okay, he's gone over the deep end. I may cease to exist on planet Earth. My body, this earth suit, may fall to the ground someday. But the Spirit of God on the inside of me and the real Spirit of Robert on the inside, who I am, the Bible says when I leave my body, I'm going to heaven. That I'm never going to taste death because Jesus tasted death for me. You know why? Because I'm saved. Because I'm born again. Because I know that 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 Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Can't be talked out of it. Are y'all with me? So to the Christian who is saved, there's no death. There's a temporal separation between earth and heaven, but to me, I can't die. I'm going to heaven. I'm going from life, this life, to the next life. I'm going from life to life. But the Bible says if the wages of sin, that it leads to death. Death, the word there, when he's talking about death, he's talking about being separated from God. That thing that we do in our life that then causes us to not want to go talk to God because we're ashamed. Not want to go to the throne and pray because we don't feel comfortable. Because we've done something that's a little, you know, it wasn't really quite right. So we think that, you know, oh man, you know, it made me a little nervous. Y'all with me? So you don't want to go talk to God. What's happened is because I just want to see if y'all are honest in here. Has anyone in here, would you be bold enough to raise your hand if you've ever felt that way? Can you raise your hand? The rest of you, you know, you're deceived. Not wanting to admit it. You're in denial. And we have intervention class for you on Tuesdays. You need to come. All of us have felt that way before. We've done something. We're ashamed. We shouldn't have done it. We shouldn't have let us make that mistake again. We shouldn't have slipped. We shouldn't have said what we said. We shouldn't have said that at that time. We shouldn't have acted the way we acted. We shouldn't have done what we did, but we did, and now we're embarrassed about it. And that embarrassment or that shame upon us keeps us from going to God. You've experienced sin, which led to death, death being separation from you and your Heavenly Father that loves you. Are y'all following me here? From a God who wants to wrap you in his arms and help you, right? The prodigal son, he saw him and he ran and he kissed him, to you're not wanting to go to God. You've experienced death, separation from God. Are y'all with me? Now, the ultimate separation from God is hell. And that's another topic and another thing on down the road. But the wages of sin is death. So if you stray from the truth, if you choose to go away from God's truth, whether you knew it or not, whether you knew it or not, if you strayed from God's truth, then the result or the wages of that is you're going to feel separated from God. Hello? So when I try to tell people I talk to them all the time, say, well, you know, I just don't have much of a relationship with God. I don't feel like I should, you know. And I say, well, you know, have you repented of your sins? Well, you know, repent so you can get right with God, so you can run to his arms. I mean, that's what he wants. Get that wedge that's between you and God out of the way. Repent of it. Y'all follow me? Okay. I want you to go to Ephesians chapter 6 now. Y'all just stay with me on this thing. I'm still trying to talk about freedom. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. It says, bondservants, be obedient to those who are your masters. Now, what are bondservants? Slaves, right? A bondservant is a slave. A bondservant is either in the days of Jesus in the Old Testament also, you could go and sell yourself to somebody and say, look, I kind of like you, and I kind of like the way you look and act and the way you're kind of business you're in here, and I can't seem to make anything work in life, and so I can't handle finance or anything. If you'll give me a house and take care of me as if I'm your son and you give me everything, I'll just give you my life. I'll sell you myself. I'll become a bond servant to you. Or people could go in there and they could do it for a limited amount of time. Said, look, I'll give you all of my services, everything I got, they're yours. And you're going to feed me and clothe me and house me and take care of me. And I'm selling myself to you. And you're going to give me that much money up front. And I'm selling myself to you. And then I'm here. I'm yours for 6 years. Y'all with me? Those are bond servants. It says, bond servants, be obedient to those who are your masters. Everybody say masters. According to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in sincerity of heart, as to Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as bondservants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good anyone does, he will receive the same of the Lord, whether he is a slave or free. Whether you are masters, do the same things to them, giving up, threatening, and knowing that your own. Okay. He's talking here about I didn't finish the deal. Knowing that your own master is also in heaven, and there's no partiality with him. Okay. In this world, like I'm telling you, right now, there's the world is more out of control than it's ever been, and people are wanting to put in their opinions rather than knowing what truth is. The truth of the matter is, church, if you today know Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior of your life, you are a slave to him. You are not free to do whatever you want to do. You did not read the fine print when you gave yourself to Jesus that says on the bottom that you give him your life and he gives you eternal life. That you have been bought with a price, and you are not your own. I told you about there was two churches that in the North Carolina debate over were they going to have same-sex marriage or marriage as a man and a woman, defined as a man and a woman in their law. That there was two churches. There was one Methodist church, and the pastor sent up there and saying, this is absolute. We need to fight against this thing. That we don't need to do this. This is something that we need to vote down because we need to accept all kinds of people into the church and just show them love and grace. And there was another minister from a Baptist church, and he was preaching, we got to vote this into law. We got to put this in here. We got to stand against it. Two men of God in two large churches and two large denominations, and both men speaking something. I hate to tell them, but one of them was wrong. Because they both can't be right. So somebody's wrong. Hello? What is truth? We got to know what the truth is. We really have to look at our Bibles and know what the truth is. Right now, today, church, more than ever before in your life, you need to know what is the truth of the Word of God. It needs to be settled and solidified in your heart because that is your marching orders. You don't get your opinion. You don't get to say, well, I think God should have done it this way. We have been bought with the price and our life is not our own, and you don't get an opinion or a vote. Look at the person beside you and say, man, that pastor, he just got crazy. I don't know. You don't. Listen, that's the deal. You give your life to Jesus and you get eternal life in heaven. Woo! He'll deliver you, set you free, save you, bless you, give you all the goodness of life. You got to walk in it. You got to receive it by faith. You got to know what the truth is. But it's all yours. But it costs you everything. If you want to know what is truth and what's not, you have to go to the Word of God. Now let me ask you something. And this is where, you know, this is where now things get touchy. Because in this world we have people promoting things. And if they're not promoting truth, I feel like I have to stand up here and tell y'all, don't be deceived by this. Because if you bite into this, then you're getting deceived. The president said the other day in a conference, in a speech, that his statement was that as we fought for civil rights and we have fought for women's rights, and now it's only fitting that we fight for gay rights. And so he put that in there, and as I was sitting there talking about that, I thought I was popping up scriptures in my head to, what's truth? Okay, what's truth? Now, let me ask you something. Now, I better get a big amen here in just a minute, ladies. I better get a shout down, come on, waving, hanky waving, amen. But is it not true that the Bible talks about the relationship between men and women? It does talk about women are helpmates, but it never puts women in a secondary class. Does it not? Men, as much as y'all are going to want me to just shut up, women have rights. For a woman to be denied a job because she was a woman, based upon her skill level, was able to do that. Now, you know, if you had a woman that weighed 98 pounds and wanted to be a steel worker, you know, and it just doesn't fit because she can't do it. It just physically can't get the job done. Well, then I can understand that. But if you're just talking about the intellectual ability of a woman to handle the job and, you know, what's going on, well, then and there can be no discrimination. It's wrong to subdue women in that fact, right? Throughout the Middle East, the women that they won't let them have a driver's license, won't let them get any education, won't let them do anything like that. You know, I mean, maybe, never mind, forget it. Let me get a drink. Think about what I'm going to say. Help me, Jesus. Okay. But point is, the truth that he spoke out of his mouth there is true. Women, there should be women's rights, right? Let's take it a step further. Is it right for there to be discrimination based upon the color of a person's skin? It's wrong. Civil rights and everything that went on in civil rights and all that. It was wrong. It was wrong to deny a person access into a restaurant because of the skin color. It's wrong. There's no doubt. That's unbiblical. The Bible, I got scripture after scripture here that absolutely says that was an unbiblical stance. As a nation of Christians, we were wrong. Now, you know, If you wanted to have a 6-foot club, you had to be 6 foot tall to be in that club. And I couldn't join. I was mad. You know, I say get over it. I'll just start up, you know, I'll start an under 6-foot club. I mean, I don't understand. understand where everybody wants to go through all this stuff about equal, because if you ain't 6 foot, you ain't 6 foot. They want to have a 6 foot club. Shut up. That's tough. You know? You want to have only a left-handed golf tournament. You know, everybody's got to put golf left-handed. Well, then so what? I mean, all the righties can't be mad. Okay? That's the way I look at it. Now, I mean, it's just stupid to me. That's just the stupidest thing in the world. All right? But it's wrong to discriminate against a person because of the color of their skin. That's unbiblical. That is not truth. So what they did, it was wrong. We were wrong as a nation. There's no doubt we were wrong. Slavery was wrong as a nation. It was wrong. Doesn't make any difference if everybody else did it in the world. Who started it first? Are y'all with me?
Yes.
All men are created equal. Y'all hearing what I'm saying?
Yes.
But those are issues that are based upon not moral convictions. Are y'all with me? You got to get truth here. Those are issues that are based upon the way a person was born. The Bible doesn't ever distinguish between. It says, talks about Jews and Gentiles. There's only two classes of people that God looks at. Those that are saved and those that are not. Those that are Christians and those that are not. Are y'all with me? That's the only way God, those that are righteous and those that are not righteous. That's the only way he looks at people. When God looks at a person, he didn't say, well, I don't know that person. I don't know if they're going, you know, they look like they're, you know, got this culture and that culture. Yeah, God just says, are they saved or not? Are y'all with me? The way that we should look at people is, do they know Jesus or not? Does a person act like that because he doesn't know Jesus? And what's the answer? Tell them about Jesus. And if you'll look at people that way in this world, you'll be operating in truth and you'll come to what really truly is the heart of God. Now you got to understand something. I've been trying to preach this about freedom. And you're saying, where are you getting this off? Listen, you don't have a choice. The only freedom you have is to adhere to what the Word of God says. That's the only choice you really have to make. Oh, God doesn't care if you like to drink Coke more than Dr. Pepper. I don't think that makes a hill of beans. Or if you like your tea sweet or unsweet, I don't think that means a hill of beans. But when it comes down to truth, you don't have a choice. You either adhere to what God says or not. And so somebody comes to you and they're racist and they say, well, this is, you know, this group of people is not, they're not superior. This is whatever, we've got to put this in. We've got to put this. Listen, you don't have a choice. You can't say, well, you know, you kind of got a point. Are y'all following me here? You got to adhere to the truth. So now go to Romans chapter 1. People do not want to hear truth today. I am bound by my master, Jesus, to preach the truth. I can't do anything else. No matter what I want to say, no matter how sticky the subjects are, no matter whatever, I am bound by my master, just like you are bound by your master to adhere from it. Isn't it funny? How many of y'all ever say, Lord Jesus? Y'all ever use that phrase? Huh? Lord, I just thank you today. Isn't it funny how when you say it that way, you don't really think about that he owns you. Lord, Master. We want to think of Jesus as, you know, holding that stupid sheep. His long hair in his robe, petting a dumb sheep. And I'm telling you folks, nobody pets a sheep. It stinks. You're Lord. I know about these things. That is a false picture. I can promise you, if anybody ever came up and handed a sheep to Jesus, he said, what are you talking about? Put the sheep down. My Lord knows more than that. He's smart. People want to get a picture. They say, oh, Lord, we love you. But they don't get the concept. Folks, I'm having to tell you the concept today is that he's your master. You pray and you say, Lord Jesus, I thank you for this day. You just said it, Lord Jesus. He is your master. You don't have a choice to go out and act like an idiot. Not that any of y'all would. But you have no choice. You don't have a choice not to do what the truth of God's word is. You don't have a choice. That's the deal. You gave your life to him. He gives you eternal life, but he bought you at the price. He owns you. And the only true freedom is the freedom in Jesus to know that when you do what he says, you're following truth. That's really the only freedom. Because outside of the freedom, you making your own choices and doing your own thing, you know what happens? Death, separation from God. We in Texas love to stand our ground because we say, man, you know, ain't nobody going to tell us what to do. But the truth of the matter is you have one that tells you what to do, and his name's Jesus. Romans chapter 1, verse 18. I'm reading the Word of God. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness, unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore also God gave them up to uncleanliness in the lust of their heart to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions, for even their women exchanged their natural uses for what is against nature. Likewise, also men, leaving their natural use for a woman, burned with lust for one another, men with men committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They were whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, and disobedient to parents. Undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who, knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve those who practice them. What I've just preached to you this morning, about any time you stray from the truth, you are going to have to accept the wages of that, which is death, which is separation between you and God. And it doesn't make any difference whether it's in a homosexual act or if it's being disobedient to your parents. Either way, it's taking you out of truth and is going to lead you into death, which is separation from God. Are y'all hearing me? There's no way, because a person wants to do something, that you can say, oh, okay, it's just a lifestyle, and then it's still accepted as a Christian. So now all of a sudden, folks, listen to me. Now I'm going to change course a little bit. I can tell you what's going to happen. I can predict the future. Okay? Not based upon that I'm a great prophet or I'm a seer or I saw some sign in heaven, but just simply because I can look back in history into what happened with the nation of Israel. Okay? In the days of Jesus, when he was arguing there, when our first scripture we read in John chapter 8, it was the religious people of the day he was arguing with. Are y'all following me? It was people that are supposed to have known better. People who were set about to know what the law said and then to walk in that law. Okay? The people that were supposed to be right, but they were wrong. And if you look at the nation of Israel got themselves in trouble throughout history when they quit serving God, when God quit being the center of their attention, when God was the center of everything of their lives, when all of their they observed all the feasts, they had all the honor and glory going to God, they did everything that was right. God blessed the nation of Israel, and there was no nation ever been more blessed than them. But the moment that they began to turn from God, the moment they began to serve other gods, the moment they began to turn and go and do other things and allow themselves to forget what the law said, the law of God, and go do what they wanted to do, then things started to go bad with them. God didn't have to do it. It's a law set in effect to call the law of sin and death. The law that when you sin, it separates you from God. It's like gravity. No matter what, if I drop this pen on the ground, I can guarantee you, listen, anybody want to bet? Anybody got $100? I bet you when I drop it, it's going to go down, not up. Law of gravity is in effect. I don't have to see it. I don't have to be over there. The law of sin and death is in effect. And you do something that breaks God's law, it's going to separate you from God. And then what happens is men want to then do what they're doing. So they say, let's change the law. Let's change the way. Oh, let's think about it like this, because they want to do what's wrong. He gave them over to debased minds to go in to do what was wrong. And they say, well, we need to do this. We need to accept this. And so people get deceived. And right now, going through the deception of this nation is we've got to accept everything. But we won't accept you praying in our schools. We won't accept the Ten Commandments. We won't accept that Bible stuff, because that stuff right there, you know, y'all are saying that you can't do it, so we're going to have to get that stuff out of there. Excuse me? It doesn't sound like to me that there's any attempt to be equal everywhere. It sounds like to me there's this attempt to do what you want to do and to make sure that anything that we believe gets shoved aside. And Christians have been standing around, we haven't done nothing. Gripe and complain, talk about how bad it is. And we let everything take place since Roe versus Wade to get prayer out of public school and start having abortions everywhere. And we kill 40 million babies. If you know, go back and study the nation of Israel. Every time they went wrong, they began to offer their children up to Molech, the God who passed them through the fire. Isn't it funny that whenever a nation goes wrong, they always start killing the kids off? I'll tell you what I learned last night. I had to go look it up myself. Blew me away. Blew me away when I read it. Did you know, some of you may already have known this, but I just know this, that the day that George Washington was inaugurated as the very first president of the United States of America, that they walked down, and after he was inaugurated, and he took all the legislators, the House of Representatives, the senators, everything, and he led them down to a church. And at that church, at St. Paul's Chapel, in New York City, because there wasn't in Washington, D.C. at the time, they gathered out front, and they prayed a prayer and consecrated this nation to God. And said, this nation is a nation that the providence of God is upon us, and they consecrated this nation to God, right there. Amen? Do you know what's at the very corner of the street of Wall Street and where St. Paul's Church is? Ground zero. Ground zero. Those planes flew right into the very heart of the consecrated ground that this nation was started upon, right there. And when the rubble from the Twin Towers fell, the only building that was not damaged that was down there was St. Paul's Chapel. It wasn't damaged. You see, people, maybe I'm wrong, and y'all can prove me wrong. And I'm not standing here pointing the finger at y'all this morning. I'm preaching to everybody out there listening to me on the radio this morning, and everybody's watching my video. I believe most people think that we're just kind of like here, and they do believe in God, and they claim to be Christian, but they just believe that we're just kind of here, and someday we'll die and go to heaven, and whatever, and God's not really involved much with the world. I think that's the thought of most Christians. that it's a personal relationship between them and their creator, and you know, and that's kind of it. And it's just kind of going through, going, and everybody's just kind of floating and floating, and you know, it's not really God active in the world. But I hate to tell you, church, God is very active in the world. God is very active in the world, and the world is operating upon His timetable, not our timetable. And I can tell you that when men stray from the truth, it leads them into a bad place. Because I can tell you that from history. I can tell you what's coming. I can tell you that if our current presidency and administration is reelected in 2012, I can tell you what's coming right down the road. I'll no longer be able to stand here in this pulpit and preach the Word of God to you. You say, oh, Pastor. No, I'll tell you what's going to happen. It's already happened. Hutchinson County, Kansas, right now, the city ordinance was passed that there could be no discrimination in town from any business or church or school based upon sexual orientation. So what that means is that a pastor in that town, if he wants to remain a pastor in that town, and if that church wants to remain as a registered 501c3 church with the ability to be nonprofit, that he has to marry same-sex marriages. And if he doesn't adhere to doing that, then he loses his tax status, which means all of a sudden the church changes complete nature of what church is about. It's in Kansas, City, Kansas, right now. I can tell you that I have more fear in me of my Heavenly Father and my Master, Jesus Christ, than I do of any man or anybody could say or do to me. I'm not going to worry about my economic status, anything other like that. I'll walk off. I'll live underneath a tree and eat acorns before I will openly, knowingly go against the truth of God's Word. Y'all with me? You say, well, you know, how could this be? Folks, listen to me. If you go to Russia right now and you go in there, there's two kinds of churches. There's registered churches and unregistered churches. Registered churches are those that adhere to everything that the state wanted to say in the mandates, and so therefore that church became registered and they have to adhere to what the state says. Unregistered churches are the churches that basically were just got out there rebellious and said, we're not going to listen to what the state says. We believe what the Word of God says, and no matter what the consequences are upon us, then that's what we'll do. And so those churches are unregistered. So if you go to a registered church and you give a tithe, it's a tax deduction. But if you go to an unregistered church and give your offering, it's not considered anything. The point is, folks, I'm telling you, we are right there at the threshold. We were stepping into that arena so unbelievably that everybody is trying to speak subtle truth out. That's not truth, it's twisted truth. They're trying to say, this is what we should do. Oh, this is the right thing to do. And I'm telling you, if it's opposed to the Word of God, it is not truth and you cannot walk in it because it will separate you from your relationship with God. I'm telling you, the business is very serious right now. Very serious right now. You say, well, I'm free to do whatever I want to. You don't have a choice. You have to do what the Word says. The only freedom is choosing to say, hey, I know, I believe this Word. I believe this Bible. That's it. That's the only freedom you really got. If the Bible said it, it's true. Are y'all with me? And this world is coming to a place where it wants us to accept partial truth. We need to accept women's rights. We need to fight for civil rights. And we need to fight for gay rights. And so they throw it all in there together in one lump sum, make it look like it's a good cause. And people that don't know better fall for the lie. I'm going to turn around and say it a little differently. Whether anybody realizes it or not, there is a devil in charge of this world, trying to get this world, and all he's looking at is numbers. You got to understand something. It is a numbers game with him. He got the lease on this earth through Adam. And all he's looking to do is it's a numbers game. How many can he take to hell with him because he knows he's going? Isn't it funny that of all the things going on in the world, the thing that just freaks people out and scares people more is the Bible? Amen. Just telling me a story this morning about the Gideons have to go remove Bibles from a place because they came back and said, you got to take the Bibles out of there. You can't have Bibles there anymore. Wow, isn't that funny? What old Bible scares you? You know why? Because it's the truth. And it's not them. You got to understand, it's the spirit behind it. It's the spirit of the world behind it. It's the enemy. It's the devil, however you want to say it. Lucifer, Beelzebub, the fallen angel, whatever. It's him. Working through to try to just get as many people deceived and off base as possibly can. And I'll be honest with you. I'm kind of excited about what's going on right now. Because I'm glad that our president is finally standing out there and showing his cards and stepping up to the plate and saying, this is what we're going to do. This is what I believe. I'm glad. Makes it real simple to choose. Are y'all with me? You see what I'm saying? Let's just get it out in the open. Come on, just say it. This is what you want to do. So I'm happy. I'm like, yeah, thank you. Finally, this is out. Right? But I'm telling you as a Christian, you don't have to give people your opinion. I'm not against people that are gay. The Bible says we're to have compassion for every person. It says that you're supposed to love people that are disobedient to their parents just like you love people that are homosexuals. Parents, have you ever had your child be disobedient to you? Hello? That's in the same list, right? All I'm saying is that sin is sin. It leads you to separation from God. And we're to tell people, you don't want to do that because it's going to lead you away from God. End of story. And if you stay operating in non-truth, the wages of that leads you to death. Right? That's not my opinion. That is what the Word of God says. So you either believe the Word or you don't. And to me, it's real simple. Jesus said it. We don't have an opinion about it. He's my master. That's what my master wants to do. Then that's fine. I'll do it. Hello? I'm glad we have a great master. I'm glad we have a master like Jesus that knows the truth and he can look down through all the halls of time and knows what's going to be good for us and the best for us and knows what's right. I'm glad that he's a God that knows the end from the beginning and he's already seen the end and he already knows in our life the best thing that we can do and the best thing we can be and the way that is going to be best for us. I'm glad that. I'm glad I have somebody that's already gone down and checked it out and come back and told me the coast is clear. Keep going that way. It'll be okay. Hello? Now, I just want to say that if anybody has any problems with this message, you want to talk about it, just call Dwayne Hillis. He'll take care of everything. Ask Tracy. She'll give you his number. Amen? Well, put your Bibles up if you would. And just sit there for just a minute. Everybody just bow your heads and just give everybody around you a little bit of privacy. Let me just ask you this, church. If you're in here today and you don't know Jesus, he's not your master, he's not your Lord. You don't really know that if you died today you'd go to heaven. You're not sure, but you want to be. Then I want to pray with you. The Bible says all you have to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. That's it. You don't have to join a church. You don't have to be perfect. He leads you into all that. All you have to do is make that profession of your faith in Jesus. So if you're in here today, or if you're listening by radio or watching by video, and you want to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life for the very first time, well, then I want to ask you just to lift up your hand and just say, yeah, Pastor, that's me. I want to know. I want to be sure that I want to go to heaven when I die. Just lift up your hand and say, yeah, that's me. That's me. I want to know. Amen. Thank you. I see that hand. Anyone else? Well, church, pray with me this morning. Everybody out there, if you raised your hand, if you're watching by video, just pray this prayer with me. Say, Jesus, today I ask you to forgive me of my sins. I confess with my mouth that you are Lord. I believe in you, Jesus. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you that heaven is my home. Amen. Now, church, stand to your feet if you would. Listen to me. Those of you watching, those of you listening, those of you in here, if you prayed that prayer for the very first time, well, then you know what? Your name just got written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. All of heaven's rejoicing, shouting up and down. Angels are doing the two-step or something in heaven because it says they're all rejoicing. That's the only way I know to rejoice. And so that must be what they do, don't you reckon? My wife says no. Okay, well, we'll find out when we get to heaven what happens. I say there's a whole section of country angels. Know just what's proper and how to act. But anyway, I want to tell you something. Today's a new day for you. Amen? Now, church, I want to ask you to just, in these days ahead, to pray for our nation. We have got to pray for our nation. We have got to intercede. We've got to humble ourselves. We've got to admit that our nation has been wrong in things that it's done at times. There's a whole lot of right we've done. But we're not perfect. And we've got to be a people of prayer for this nation, because the Bible says if we humble ourselves and pray for our nation, that God will hear our cry and he'll deliver us. So we got to be prayer people. Amen. So we got to be praying for our nation. Amen. So that's your responsibility. It's also your responsibility to adhere to the truth. Don't let anybody talk you out of it. Somebody says, well, that's what the Bible says. That's what I believe. If you don't like it, end of story. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Peace on earth, goodwill towards all men. Have fun, but I'm sticking to the word. Amen. Amen? So take that person's hand next to you, and I want to pray for you. As soon as I have a prayer, a dismissal, we're going to have a prayer team come up here. If you do need prayer today, we'll be up here to pray for you. Otherwise, we can go on over to dinner on the grounds and fellowship and enjoy yourselves today. And just receive blessings. Father, we just declare today over this whole congregation, Lord, that your hand is upon us all. That you're leading us and guiding us and directing us. And I just ask you today, Lord God, and we stop here and we pray for our nation and we cry out for our nation, that our nation would hear the word of God and know the truth, and that the truth would set people free. That, Lord God, that this year would be a great year, because it would be a nation, our nation would turn towards you. And Lord, we thank you for that and we praise you for it. We praise you, Lord God, for everything that America has sown and all the great things that you've used us for. But Lord, I pray, let this nation shine again another day, Lord. So Father, bless everyone as we go. Bless our fellowship, our time, all the food and the hands that prepared it. And we just thank you for this, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name, amen and amen. God bless you.